You're listening to Me and Paranormal You with your host, Ryan Singer. It's more fun to believe.
Third year bonus.
There we go. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another third year bonus of Me and Paranormal You. This is Ryan Singer. I'm happy to be here speaking into a microphone to you in the year 2021. We made it to the year 2021, didn't we? Yes, we did. 2021 has proven to be off to a don't tell me I can't do it kind of start, right? You know, it's one of those things, you know? This is a paranormal podcast. I guess comedy, I guess esoteric, I guess mystical, I guess supernatural, all those things. Every once in a while, politics does come involved because, you know, all of these things are connected to one another on some level if you explore them, you know, far enough or deeply enough. Now, you know, as you know, you listen to this program, if you listen regularly, you know that I believe that Black Lives Matter. I support Act Blue Charities, the movement for Black Lives. I mean, it's just, you saw all the things and, you know, what are the responses to the, you know, to different types of protests and things like that. I don't know. I just wish all of these people would have showed up with their guns and stormed the Capitol, you know, at the end of 2007, 2008, when everyone lost their house and all the rich people got bailed out. Where were you then, I wonder? Where were all of the people wearing horns and carrying guns? Where were they when that happened? Missed ya back then when freedom and life was truly threatened and taken advantage of. Missed ya back when something actually, I don't know, dare I say, calling for that kind of response occurred, as opposed to this clown show, this parade of fictional clown traipsing. It's you know, I do believe that the future is bright for humanity. I believe that this country specifically, and every country specifically, I believe that whatever is happening or whatever has happened in the past, we can learn, we can grow, we can do better. And I think that's ultimately what's going to happen when you zoom out and look at the long term, right? The fact that it wasn't all that long ago that we were, you know, living in caves. And some people still do, I suppose. And, you know, but what I mean by that is, you know, there was no electricity, you know, even before fire, you know, all of these kinds of things, before modern medicine, before the recording of EVPs. Can we talk about that EVP that showed up? And I know there's been an interview since. I hope you enjoyed the Daniel Noah where he interviewed me this past week on The Last Experience. I could talk to that guy all day. Check out Visitations. I mean, I really love the episode with Richard Stanley. It's beautiful. I mean, there's, you know, Guillermo del Toro. I mean, there's heavy hitters on that podcast, Visitations, Daniel Noah and Elijah Wood. You know, check out the first season of that. Anyway, that EVP, I mean, there's been getting messages. I've been trying to figure it out. I've been talking to Mario about it, and it's just, there's just too many things going through my head about what it could be, what are the meanings. Is this actually these particular words that are, you know, if you actually look, you know, that aren't necessarily like English, but it takes you down a rabbit hole, right? And there's a lot of rabbit holes to go down specifically regarding that whole kind of, that specifically branching off from that. And meanwhile, I'm totally engulfed in a rabbit hole of working on Crystallize, crystallize. The waiting list is available. We just upgraded the waiting list. There was a small little snafu, but it got corrected pretty quickly. And because of the snafu, we just threw in an extra month free for everybody who was already signed up. So you can get on the waiting list. The more you share, the more people who sign up, the higher up the waiting list you move. So, I mean, we upgraded to a new waiting list that simply by sharing you move up. The people don't even have to sign up. But that does help, you know. But simply by sharing, you get credit for sharing, let alone when someone signs up from your share, which would be a referral. So we're excited that we upgraded that just so we could have a more involved system here for the waiting list. I mean, we got t-shirts, we got crystals, we've got courses that we're going to be giving away, content from wonderful creators who are, you know, giving it away. I mean, you can win the app for free for your entire life. We're very excited. I mean, it's been a lot of fun working, like having a full-time job. I mean, other than stand-up and podcasting, mindcasting, this EVP. I mean, are you kidding me? Good news is I'll be talking to Jessica very soon. At least we are scheduled to very soon have another chat. You know, and so this whole like timeline of these interviews, kind of the neighborhood where all these chats are kind of hanging out. You know, I talked to Jessica's mentor recently. You know, and then we had Mario on. You know, so you can go back and listen to all those interviews with Oscar Creston, Mario Creston. You can listen to the first interview. Is this podcast just about telling you what other episodes of this podcast you can listen to? I don't think so. I don't think that's exactly what it is. But the point is, I'm just trying to, I mean, if you're interested in these, in this neighborhood, right? You can listen to 329. That's Abigail Moss, who I was talking about, with ayahuasca, teaching and healing. The previous Jessica one. It's called I interview an alien. I believe it's something like that. Anyway, so this EVP really just kind of, I mean, the more I listen to it, the more I'm like, if you step away from it for a few days and go back, listen to it with fresh ears, it's like, oh my God, that's such clearly an EVP. Clearly an EVP. And you might be thinking to yourself, Ryan, what the hell are you even talking about right now? Well, don't you worry, because I'm putting it in this one again. I'm putting it in here again just so we can hear it again, because I feel like we got to hear it again. I mean, I feel like I got to hear it again. Can you hear an EVP too many times? I'm not sure. Let's give it a go.
I don't know if I'll ever be able to communicate with Oscar like Jessica can, but I think the more I'm grounded, the more I might be able to communicate with him. You know, like what I've been explaining, and then heal myself and then help other people. Cause I do have a lot of friends and I've helped people in certain ways.
I know you heard that. You heard that, right? Right?
I don't know if I'll ever be able to communicate with Oscar like Jessica can, but I think the more I'm grounded, the more I might be able to communicate with him. You know, like what I've been explaining, and then heal myself and then help other people. Cause I do have a lot of friends, and I've helped people in certain ways.
It was right there. You heard it. Hey, Fairy. Oh, my God. Hey, Fairy may well. I mean, like, it's good, man. I don't know. Maybe we're making a big to-do about, much to-do about nothing, but I don't know. It feels like I do enjoy it, right? I mean, you heard this, right?
And heal my.
You heard that, right? You heard that, right? I mean, you heard that. He very. I mean, I heard it. Anyway, that's like the stuff when you go out on investigations you're looking for. You know, thank goodness listeners alerted me to that. We can combine them. It doesn't matter. It doesn't seem to be any rules in what we can do anymore. So we might as well just combine that. I'm going to do a random book draw because I just enjoyed that. The Secret Teachings of All Ages, I opened up to page 309. This is Manly P. Hall. The philosophers of all ages have taught that the visible universe was but a fractional part of the whole, and that by analogy, the physical body of man is in reality the least important part of his composite constitution. Most of the medical systems of today almost entirely ignore the superphysical man. They pay but scant attention to causes and concentrate their efforts on ameliorating effects. Paracelsus, noting the same proclivity on the part of physicians during his day, aptly remarked, "There is a great difference between the power that removes the invisible causes of disease and which is magic, and that which causes merely external effects to disappear, and which is psychic sorcery and quackery," translated by Franz Hartmann. "Disease is unnatural and is evidence that there is a maladjustment within or between our organs or tissues. Permanent health cannot be regained until harmony is restored. The outstanding virtue of Hermetic medicine was its recognition of spiritual and psychophysical derangements as being largely responsible for the..." If you can't laugh at yourself, who can you laugh at, right? "As being largely responsible for the condition which is called physical disease. Suggestive therapy was used with marked success by the priest physicians of the ancient world. Among the American Indians, the shamans or medicine men dispelled sickness with the aid of mysterious dances, invocations, and charms. The fact that in spite of their ignorance of modern methods of medical treatment, these sorcerers effected innumerable cures is well worthy of consideration. The magic rituals used by the Egyptian priests for the curing of disease were based upon a highly developed comprehension of the complex workings of the human mind and its reactions upon the physical constitution. The Egyptian and Brahmin worlds undoubtedly understood the fundamental principle of vibrotherapeutics by means of chants and mantras, which emphasized certain vowel and consonant sounds. They set up vibratory reactions, which dispelled congestions and assisted nature in reconstructing broken members and depleted organisms. They also applied their knowledge of the laws governing vibration to the spiritual constitution of man. By their intonings, they stimulated latent centers of consciousness and thereby vastly increased the sensitiveness of the subjective nature." The sensitiveness of subjective nature. The sensitiveness. I started reading The Way of the Shaman again, and this is not a book you can just like pick up one night and then just you don't stop reading until you're finished, because there's exercises that involve things in it. So it's, I started reading it. And I think I got to the same part the last time I was reading it, but I didn't have the wherewithal or the materials or the information necessary, the people that I would need to assist me in making sure I could do the certain project. Anyway, I got to the same part, so I'm stumped again. I'm not stumped. I have to make a solution, create a solution, find the solution, so I can continue on with it. Now it's basically kind of helping you tap into your shamanic abilities and powers. So through a book, which I mean, who doesn't want to be a part of that? I mean, right? Who doesn't want to be a part of that? So I need to find a new book. In the meantime, because I need to be reading almost every night. That's my goal. The last 5-6 months of 2020, I totally dropped the ball on that. I just finished a book last night, actually Friday night. So now I'm ready to rock and roll with a new book. I'm trying to figure out what to do. I just watched the documentary, More is Less, I think it was, the minimalist documentary made by those two guys who made the first one. And I'm totally back on the minimalism thing. Not to mention they're from Dayton, Ohio. They're living in Dayton, Ohio. It's like, hey, hometown boys, what's up? How did I not know this? I already got rid of half of the things hanging in my closet today, I already got rid of. I washed this thing at like midnight last night. I'm cleaning my closet. Will be at 25% capacity of what it was yesterday by the end of tomorrow. Assuredly, I'm throwing away everything. I might even throw away all of my old notebooks. I've kept every old notebook I've ever written in from the beginning of comedy. And I was like, why? I was like, I just got to keep these. I'm like, why? Why am I keeping these? So someone can like never go through and read all of the things that were never good enough to become jokes. Why would I keep that stuff?
Well, you know, Mark Twain has a library.
Really? Am I Mark Twain? I didn't think so. And, you know, especially if I'm going to be moving soon, I don't want to be carrying things up and downstairs. That's the best part about being a minimalist. You just get to, you don't have to like carry heavy stuff when you move. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? Baggage. What are we carrying every time we move to a new thing, right? Is that a tie-in? Are we tying this in? Is that why I'm talking about this? Was I talking about it on purpose because I knew I'd be tying it in, or did it just happen to organically occur? You know what? That's for you to guess and for me to know. Or what is that saying? That's for me to know and for you to find out? Or that's whatever. It doesn't matter. The point is, I do want to talk about that. Whether we are discussing the supernatural or paranormal, when it comes to, you know, trying to tap into these unknown parts of ourselves, of our knowingness, kind of like what we were just reading from The Secret Teachings of All Ages, trying to, I don't know, reconnect with the natural way, with the forgotten knowledge, information, that's there, that we can seek, not in a laboratory, but within with our own meditations or through journeying, right? What is the baggage that we're bringing with us when we try to take these journeys and these meditations? I'm trying a new thing also for 2021. I'm trying morning meditations. I've always been a nighttime kind of guy. I feel alive at night. I feel so alive at night. I just feel alive. I was born at 1:57 in the morning, and that's why I feel alive. Okay. I do feel alive at night, but I'm trying to do my meditation in the morning. I'm trying to have more structure in my life, which is strange because I'm so into the liminal space, which is anti-structural. But okay, but a little bit of structure is not going to be bad for me, especially because of how busy I am. What baggage are we bringing? What baggage am I bringing to this new idea of structure, right? I'm alive at night. I can't do it in the morning. Well, is this just a narrative I keep telling myself for so many years that I believe it's true? Are these the stories I tell myself that make it true? You know, who knows? We can reinvent ourselves. We can be anything we want to be, right? The possibilities are endless. We believe in the possibility of all things over here in this neighborhood, right? Including but not limited to tapping into shamanic powers, being able to journey through time, and even through space, in our mind, you know, through simple meditation, right? Astral travel when you sleep, you know, all these things. We could walk through walls. We could levitate. Transvection is another word for levitation. We can do all these things. We can figure it out. Oh, man, reality. This is something I realize quite often when I'm meditating. I'm doing I do a couple different types of meditation. One of them is eyes open meditation. Some of you might be a little freaked out by that. And trust me, I was too when it was first taught to me. But anyway, I'll tell you something. It's like a soft focus of the eyes. And my vision changes while I'm doing these open eyes, this style of meditation. And I realize something, like the landscape, the images in front of me, they shift, they morph, they move, they change. How can that be possible if the physical reality is what is real, man? This is what is real, right in front of you. It's right there. This table is real, and it's in front of you, and it's not moving unless you move it physically. Okay, well, why is it moving in my vision? And then there's the other idea that nothing is ever truly touched. right? It's only energy that we feel the pressure from, like your skin never literally touches the desk, right? There's always some kind of barrier of energy there separating, if I'm getting that correct. So basically what I'm saying here is the physical reality can never truly be touched and also is never completely stable. And this is what people have been talking about for years when it comes to the Matrix, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the holographic universe, et cetera, et cetera. So, part of me used to think, I can't think of the universe in this way, man, because then I'll just feel like there's no stability anywhere and I will fucking lose it, man. I need something, man. Okay. I get that, man. I get it. Because that used to be me. So I get it, past version me of that guy. Wanting stability, wanting something you can rely on, something you can count on. Right? To feel sane. To feel safe. To feel stable. Sane, safe, and stable. That's hard to say, actually, those three words in a row. Sane, safe, and stable. It almost sounds like an ancient biblical story. This is the story of sane, safe, and stable. Stable didn't want to go anywhere. Safe felt confused about having to leave. And sane didn't understand why either of them worried. And then sane killed them because they were his brothers. Sane and stable are the you know, it's a parallel universe, Cain and Abel. I mean, I think we're onto something here. I think, get Hollywood on the phone. Ring, ring. This is Hollywood. Hollywood, I got a story for you. Instead of Cain and Abel, it's sane and stable. Why, tell me more. Okay, so they're brothers and the one kills the other. I love it. $2 million, greenlit. This has got legs. I'll start writing it tomorrow. First, drinks. Okay, Hollywood's based on drinks. The whole system is based on drinks. Sane and stable, coming to a theater near you soon. I should probably write that down because it's actually kind of a ridiculous, fun little thing maybe to draw a cartoon about or a little drawing about. I'm going to do that while I'm thinking of it in my crystals notebook. In my crystals notebook. Cain and Abel, sane and stable, sane and stable. Sybil? Sane and stable. So, okay, so what have you guys been up to? I've just been over here writing ideas down for stories that I'll probably never draw. Well, not with that attitude, right? Okay, so I'm going to take a drink of water. We're going to come back. I'm gonna try to get back on fucking track about what was happening over here before this billion-dollar idea popped into my head, just kind of the muse, you know? You just show up and you hope the moose, you just hope the moose taps you on the shoulder. You just hope the moose taps you on the shoulder and the moose tapped me on the shoulder this time. So I appreciate that, moose. Okay, so I'm hydrated. I just had some very delicious water. I really did. So what's this baggage we're bringing with us to our experiences? You know, and I mean, this goes into everything that happens to us every single day, right? Whether it's these, you know, the insurrection as it's being called, or, you know, the protests from earlier this year, or paranormal experiences, or just our journey to the store to buy eggs and maybe Diet A&W. I haven't really been buying Diet A&W, so I mean, hold the judgment there for a minute. Some DA, I call it DA, D-A-W, Diet A&W, DA. I'm not on the DA tip, right? I've been trying to move away from all sodas, because I mean, I'm old enough to know that soda's no good for you. It's really good, but it's no good for you. But what is the baggage that we're bringing, right? And how does it affect our interaction with whatever it is that we're doing, whether it's phenomena or whether it's just normal tasks, etc.? So if the baggage I'm bringing is like, I think all this goat shit is just boring BS, bogus. I hear that EVP from a week, 2 weeks ago, and I think this is, what, it's a technical malfunction. What are these people even wasting their time thinking about, right? But if I bring the baggage with me of experience, of phenomena, of actually hearing spirits or entity or something speak, whether it's through EVP or in a building that should be empty, or in my, you know, I've had experiences with what one could call a ghost. If I'm bringing that in my luggage to that experience, I'm thinking, oh shit, that's an EVP. That's something dead, alive, in between, whatever, speaking in this particular case, right? And then there's every other option in between and outside of those two options. So our willingness to believe in something is framed by the experiences and the choices we've made previously. I was a hardcore believer in communism when I was in my early 20s, late teens. Why? Because I chose to get into it. You know, I loved the idea of everyone to their own ability. You know, that's what they contribute. I don't know. I mean, are you gonna sit here and act like you think I'm a huge capitalist right now? I mean, that's obviously not true. I mean, my therapist would tell me that I've kind of really grown into somewhat of a capitalist, considering I started a new company this year and blah blah blah. But at the end of the day, truly, you know, if capitalism is based on growth, constant growth, it's fucking insidious. It's a virus. So, are we literally going to be the planet from the movies that destroyed itself? Are we literally going to be the people who couldn't stop ourselves because we wanted Amazon in 24 hours dropped off at our fucking doorstep? Is that really what's going to happen? And by the time we realize it's too late. I mean, is that seriously going to be the narrative? I don't think so. And a lot of other people don't think so. And that's why they're working hard to try to raise awareness, I guess, for climate change and things like that. There's still people who don't believe in climate change. This is what we're up against. And I say we, me and you, man, because you got to pick a side. You don't have to pick a side. Human beings are up against destroying the planet that we're living in. So, I mean, you know, I hope we get that shit figured out. So we're not, I'm not going to try to spoil any movie, by the way, I mean, especially these movies that I've recently watched. Anyway, I've been watching Killing Eve. Have you watched that show? I've watched all three seasons. We watched that show, and I got to tell you what a fine television program Killing Eve is. It's on Hulu. Sandra Oh, Jodie Comer. Sandra Oh, I believe, has won an award for her acting. And if Jodie Comer doesn't win an award for her acting, turn television off. Television should go away forever. Oh, my God. What a fine television program Killing Eve is. And also Truth Seekers. What a fine television program Truth Seekers is on Amazon Prime. It's about paranormal investigations. You'd love it. It's very good. It's funny, and it's also serious. I really enjoy it. It's an enjoyable show. Nick Frost, way to go. Simon Pegg, how you doing? And others. So, we bring this baggage, right? We're bringing baggage with us to all of our decisions, and how can we even be aware of it, right? It's like, ugh. How am I even supposed to be aware? It's very crippling in the moment. How are you supposed to enjoy a moment of any kind or have any kind of real life experience in the now if we're examining all the filters that this experience is coming through in the moment that it's happening, right? I feel like that's just a little overkill on trying to be self-aware. I feel like this is something for reflection, right? And also for we can preemptively try to shed the baggage and or the filters that we no longer want in our lives before we go have experiences, right? Even though they're ongoing constantly. But I think you understand what I mean, right? We can actively try to alter and change the way we're going to perceive events or, sorry, I thought I just sold something on eBay. My phone went off. Selling baseball cards on eBay. Get over there if you want some hot cards. I got hot cards. Anyway, so how do you do that, right? I think by reading, by watching, I think by listening to new ideas or other people's ideas. I think listening is probably a big part of it. And just trying to foster the open-mindedness that it takes to even have a chance to believe the unbelievable. Fostering open-mindedness is probably the most important exercise any of us can do constantly, right? Why did these people storm the U.S. Capitol last week? I'll tell you why. In my opinion, because they honestly believe that the election was stolen. You understand that? I'm not sure people understand that or not. They honestly believe that the presidential election was stolen. Okay. What things are bigger than that when it comes to patriotism? Right, when it comes to standing up for, you know, America, what would be bigger than that on the scale, right? Other than like being invaded by a foreign power and then like enlisting. So keeping this in mind, that these people stormed the U.S. Capitol, I think most of them, some of them I think were just kind of, you know, they're just there for the ride because they're one of those people. You know, those people just love being a part of chaos, maybe. Who knows? They honestly believe that, right? So this is the frame of mind going there and going into it for these people. And the behavior, therefore, is, I don't know, dare I say, much more understandable when you take into account that that's the assumption, right, going in, of what the reality is of a stolen democracy. Okay. Now, of course, there's all kinds of problems with how they could even get there through the source and, you know, like, well, how could you listen to this source, blah, 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 that sort of, blah, blah. None of that's important for what we're talking about here, right? But I believe it's possible to even try to find some empathy here deep within inside ourselves. And we can understand when we've had experiences or we've had things that have really knocked us off our rocker that no one else believes. Whether or not they're true or not is not important here. But launching from an angle where people will not believe what you say, regardless of whether it's true or not, that is something that people with paranormal experiences can well relate to. And by fostering an open-mindedness, that's not saying that we are accepting another person's truth. We are simply willing to listen to what they believe their truth is. Now, this isn't me trying to tell you, so sit down with a neo-Nazi and let them tell you why they think the white race is... That's not what we're talking about here. I'm talking about the baggage we take into different experiences we have and how they shape and form our mindset and actually how they shape our interpretation of the events that unfold around us while they're happening, whether we realize it or not. Now, I believe I've fostered a decent amount of open-mindedness in my life. There's still certain things that'll happen, and I'm just like, oh, shut that down. There's no way. Shut the mind down on this one. There's just no way we're entertaining that, right? Now, that might be what we call discernment, right? But, you know, also, it could be what we call, you know, being a closed-minded bastard. Dare I say I'm a closed-minded bastard from time to time? Well, dare. Yes, I dare. So I used to just scoff at people who believed in the dog man. I mean, whether it was privately or publicly, I don't remember. I'm sure I kind of talked. I don't know. I may have talked some smack about believers of the dog man on this program over the years. Go through the archives, find out, pull out every soundbite of me talking smack about believing in dog man and and then we'll have me debate myself of my past audio. I'm on board with Dog Man, you know. I mean, I just from having conversations with people who have spoken of Dog Man, I no longer scoff at the idea of Dog Man. This is who I am now. I've grown older and wiser. Is that fair to say? But the baggage I was bringing initially to that conversation, I'm not even sure where it came from. It was one of these things where I'm like, I'm willing to believe and I've had experiences, but some of this shit's just a little bit too bonkers for me, okay? Try not to ruin the credibility of the rest of us who are really trying to convince people that Sasquatch is real. Now you start bringing in Dog Man and we're going to lose people. Oh, really? You're going to lose people with Dog Man when you're trying to convince them of Sasquatch? I don't think so. I don't really think so. It doesn't make a lot of sense. You're going to lose people talking about, the Loch Ness Monster or whatever if you bring up Chupacabra. Because Chupacabra ain't even older than Miley Cyrus. You trying to bring a Chupacabra? We're going to lose people. Okay, we're going to lose people. I'm not sure where I stand on Chupacabra. I could be swayed either way. As it stands now, I'm very neutral, leaning towards no thank you on Chupacabra. But I could be swayed, obviously. I could be swayed. I just get my hopes up every time I see one of these videos, like, Chupacabra found. They caged a chupacabra. And then you see the video and you're like, that's not a chupacabra, is it? It's like an animal with mange. That's like the excuse for everything. It's an animal with mange. That's like the old weather balloon argument. It's not a UFO, it's a weather balloon. It's a thing with mange. It's a bear with mange. It's a wolf with mange. It's a human being with mange. It's something that's mangy. Mange. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what mange ever did to be the catch-all. So this baggage that we're bringing, it influences what we believe. My religious baggage heavily influences what I believe and what I'm even willing to listen to. Oh, God, I don't even want to talk about this. Oh, I don't even want to discuss this. I'm like many people, we have our shutdown buttons, right? We have our like self-destruct buttons. The space station will self-destruct in 5 seconds if you mention heaven or hell to me. if you try to tell me heaven and hell are real places, this space station will self-destruct in 5, 4, 3, save yourself, 2, 1, never gonna believe. You know, I grew up being, you know, told the heaven and hell narrative, you know, for years, and I grew tired of it quite fast. And therefore, I do not believe that there is a place called heaven and that there is a place called hell. I don't believe that currently, okay? Now, there are lots of people who do, and they're allowed to. Is there an earthquake happening, or is that just someone doing CrossFit upstairs? Nonetheless, is that a normal question to be asked? I do not believe in heaven and hell. If someone wants to come on the program and discuss heaven and hell, you know, or maybe they're talking about heaven or hell in relation to something else that they've experienced, I'm not going to shut these people down. Of course not, because heaven and hell very well could exist. And I'm not going to be the one, okay, let me stop you right there. Okay, heaven and hell are not real places. And so therefore, everything else you have said is, we need to throw it out the window. We need to throw the angel out with the hell water. We have to throw the demon out with the baptism water. Maybe that would have been better. Hey, you can use either one. Depends on what you like. What do you prefer? Well, I prefer using both, clearly, because I said both. So, this is the baggage I'm bringing, right? I have, I don't know. Do we want to say anti-organized religious baggage? I guess I have, you know how you have poopery? You can spray it in your toilet so it doesn't smell like poop after the poop goes in the water or something. I guess that's, it makes some kind of weird seal, some scent-proof seal between the top of the water and the oxygen or in the air above. How come nobody's talking about this? I was like so seriously like upset. Like, how come no one has talked about poopery? Like, what is really going on? Well, like, what if in a movie, like, portals opened and the only way to really close the portal was by spraying poopery because of the, for whatever reason, the chemical compound in poopery was like, you know, what it took to keep like certain plasma or certain kind of molecules, you know, separate from emerging through a barrier. And it was poopery. That's how you closed portals. What if like the NSA shows up or another unnamed government organization arrives at your house because you have paranormal activity occurring and they need to close this portal that's opened up in your ceiling, and they pull out little bottles of poopery, and that's what, you didn't need a priest, you needed poopery. What was I even talking about? Wow. This poopery thing really captured my imagination. So I really just fucking drew blank. Poopery closes portals. You know, this is like the cover of the, you know, National Enquirer. Remember in Men in Black, the first one? That really funny bit they did in that, where they're like, you know, the National Enquirer, they're like, the Men in Black actually read the National Enquirer because it had the real news. I've actually heard people say that lately, like in the last handful of years. I've heard that kind of pop up in casual conversation. It's like, you know, that came from Men in Black, right? Or did it, Men in Black put it in the movie because they'd already heard it? Which one came first, man? Men in Black or the National Enquirer actually has real news? It's like the chicken and the egg, right? I think it was Men in Black. So that's, I'm sticking with Men in Black on that one, okay? Yeah. National Enquirer is nothing but gossip rag to sell. Like, it might as well be a novel that someone made up just to try to sell ads while you're grocery shopping. So, I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, call the hotline. I don't think I've been running it. Send an email. You can find me on Facebook. The Me and Paranormal You Ryan Singer page. You can contact me there. By the way, someone just contacted me through there recently that I hope to be having a conversation with very soon. Maybe they'll let me take notes during our talk because they do not want to be recorded. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. It's some interesting stuff that we'll see. We'll see if that chat happens. Poopery closes portals. I have anti-religious. I'm trying to backtrack here to get to it. I could go back and listen to it, but it takes all the fun out of it. Hopefully. It doesn't take all the fun out of it by me trying to do it for you, for the listener. But I have anti-religious baggage, right? So I don't want that affecting me during conversations I have with people when they want to tell me their experiences. And, you know, I really try to do my best because, guess what? If the Virgin Mary walked in here right now, or floated in here right now, or descended through the ceiling in here right now, guess who would talk to her? This guy, right? This guy would be talking to, you know, old Mare Bear over here. So, hey, Mary, what's up? You know, I would love to have that conversation. Are you kidding me? So, yeah, I try to keep an open mind to the best I can. But like I said, I'm aware of this baggage. Therefore, I'm able to leave it at home before I take these certain journeys and take these trips, right? Especially with other people. You know what? And 9 times out of 10, none of that shit even comes up. But guess what? That's baggage I don't need to be packing for certain trips because I'm never going to need the shit that's in that bag. I don't need the stuff that's in that bag at all, ever, actually, right? So it's one of these bags I'm just trying to get rid of. Oh, minimalism. Maybe I'll drop it off at the spiritual goodwill in my mind and just be like, I never need any of the things in this bag again. That's a great idea. Maybe I can do that. Yeah, I'll probably do that after I write, you know, Sane and Stable, the epic saga of two brothers who get along perfectly well. Because one's sane and the other's stable. Seems like a great relationship, probably. Sane and Stable. Sibling chivalry and satisfaction in interdynamic relationships, interpersonal relationships. So, yeah, maybe that's what we all can do this year. We can try to get rid of some of this baggage, right? And like I said, and try to practice more empathy. I am doing my best to try to exercise empathy and trying to understand everything that's happening in the country right now. Trust me, I've been down conspiracy rabbit holes. I have never been incited to, violence. I'm more of an Occupy Wall Street kind of sit here and sing songs kind of guy. I'm more of a peaceful demonstration kind of fella. That seems to be, where I find my joy and happiness when it comes to wanting to stand up for what I believe in. Usually it's sitting down and kumbaya-ing my way into change is what I prefer. So I'm not a take a gun to the Capitol building kind of guy. But in trying to practice empathy and understand empathy, I'm trying to understand, you know, what if I'm wrong about the fear-based PSYOP campaign that could be being waged against all Americans, right? As they fake an alien invasion and, you know, try to institute martial law on the world. It's like, well, then what? Then what? Then they just get richer and we just kind of don't leave our house or something. I just don't know what the end game is, right? Other than total global domination. Doesn't that sound boring after a while? I guess not to lizard people. I mean, I got a lizard in my brain. Maybe I'm a lizard person. Maybe we all are lizard people because they say it's the, you know, the mammalian, or it's that lizard part of your brain that really activates when you get fired, when you get really fired up and you can't listen to other people when they're talking. That's like, it's a lizard part. Ay, 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 ay. Maybe we should do, you know, what are those cloud trails? I can't even remember. Contrails? I can't even remember the name of them. Chemtrails. God, that's how far out of the game, conspiracy game, I've extracted myself. I couldn't even remember chemtrails. It's like forgetting who's on Mount Rushmore. I couldn't tell you who's on Mount Rushmore. I know Abraham Lincoln probably in Washington. Anyway, chemtrails is like Abraham Lincoln. I don't know. Anyway, maybe we should do chemtrails of, psilocybin or ayahuasca or something. I've never done ayahuasca, so, you know. Hey. Maybe not. Sign up for Crystallize app. The waiting list, you get early access. You win free stuff. You're going to win. You're going to win free stuff just from signing up. And then the more you share and the more people who sign up, the more stuff you win. We're talking t-shirts, giveaways, prizes, free access to premium features on the app for extended periods of time. You could win lifetime. You could win 2 years, 1 year, 9 months, 10 months, 6 months, 3 months. It's going to be coming out very soon. I'm very excited. I love you. I hope you love yourself. I'm not going to be doing any live shows anytime soon. So I guess I'll just keep seeing you at the watering hole on the astral plane.